Les colloques du Collège de France.
It's my great pleasure to introduce Charbel, who is going to be talking to us about another mammal. We've gone from marsupials to humans. So over to you, Charbel, and thank you so much.
Hi, everyone. So thanks for the invitation, for the introduction. So my name is Charbel. I'm a postdoc in Claire Rougel's lab. And for today's talk, I'm going to present a project that we published almost a year ago, in which we explored the role of a long non-coding RNA exist in X chromosome regulation during early human development. So as a small introduction, just to put the context, the master regulator of X chromosome and activation is the long non-coding RNA exist. So once this RNA is transcribed from one of the two X chromosomes in females, it spreads in cis across that chromosome, triggering its transcriptional silencing. So how silencing occurs, you will have recruitment of many protein factors by XIST. One of the most important ones is the protein SPEN, which triggers the loss of active histone modifications and the exclusion of the RNA polymerase II, leading to gene silencing. And then this silent state is maintained through the accumulation of repressive histone modifications, such as A3K27 trimethylation and H2A lysine 119 ubiquitination. Most studies have been done in rodents in order to study the role of XIST in X chromosome and activation onset. And so we know that in mice, XIST is expressed very early during the pre-implantation development, around the 2 to 4 cell stages, which coincides with the zygotic genome activation. And importantly, in this species, XIST expression is always coupled to X chromosome and activation. So once we have XIST, we have X chromosome and activation. However, studies in other species, such as the humans, have revealed marked diversity in the XIST expression dynamics and activity. So for instance, during the pre-implantation stage in humans, XIST is initially expressed from both X chromosomes without triggering X chromosome and activation. So both axes remain active at this stage, and it is after the implantation where XIST expression becomes restricted to one of the two X chromosomes and triggers X chromosome and activation. So this means that during the human early development, we have a transient uncoupling between XIST expression and X chromosome and activation, which is in contrast to what we observe in the mice. And more recently, using single-cell RNA sequencing, it has been shown that although both X chromosomes are active during the pre-implantation stage, their expression is reduced, resulting in a total expression level that is almost equivalent to that of a single active X chromosome during X chromosome inactivation. And this is known as X chromosome dampening. So based on all of that, we had two major questions that we wanted to address. First, what is XIST doing during the pre-implantation stage? So it is there coating both active X chromosomes, but is it functional? And the second question, is XIST involved in alternative mechanisms of dosage compensation in humans, such as X chromosome dampening? To address these questions, we needed to have a suitable cellular model that can capture the early human development. So in the lab, we used female human embryonic stem cells, which mostly exist in a primed state of pluripotency. However, primed cells, they resemble the post-implantation epiblast, and X chromosome inactivation is already established in these cells. In order to capture earlier stages prior to implantation, we can chemically reset these cells to a naive state of pluripotency. And as you can see here, naive cells, they resemble the pre-implantation epiblast and they have two active X chromosomes. However, one artifact of the system is XIST being expressed only from one of the two X chromosomes, which is in contrast to what we observe in vivo. And we know that this X chromosome that is expressing XIST corresponds to the previously inactivated one in the primed due to some sort of epigenetic memory. However, this artifact turned out to be an advantage because it allowed us to assess the function of XIST on this particular X chromosome, and I will show you how in a couple of slides. In addition to the cellular models, we also need tools to assess XIST function. So we used two complementary loss of function approaches to perturb XIST expression, either a stable depletion using the CRISPR-Cas9, for which we had only one homozygous clone, and we can also induce the repression of XIST upon the addition of doxycycline, using the CRISPR interference system, so a dead Cas9 coupled to a transcription repressor CRAB. And we had three independent clones. And as you can see, both approaches gave efficient depletion of EXIST in naive human embryonic stem cells. So once we had the proper tools and the suitable cellular model, we proceeded to ask our main question. So we hypothesized that if EXIST is functional in naive human embryonic stem cells, it should act at the chromatin level and at the gene expression level. And based on that, we asked whether EXIST recruit catalytically active histone-modifying complexes and trigger chromatin changes, and does it control the X chromosome activity? If yes, is PEN involved? So first, we checked for the presence of repressive histone modifications, H3K27 trimethylation and H2A lysine 119 ubiquitination by cut and run in naive human embryonic stem cells. And interestingly, you can see here that more than 50% of the X chromosome was covered by these repressive modifications in naive cells. This was also confirmed at the single cell level by immunostaining for these modifications, where we observed focal accumulation in approximately 60% of the cells. Then we wanted to know whether these signals actually correspond to the X chromosome that is expressing EXIST. So we combined immunostaining for H3K27 trimethylation with RNA FISH for EXIST, and we observed co-localization of both signals in more than 90% of the cells. Another approach was to capture EXIST using biotinylated oligos and then sequence the DNA that was associated with it, so basically a RAP sequencing. And here we have the distribution of EXIST over the entire X chromosome, and you can greatly appreciate the high resemblance between its distribution and that of K27 trimethylation and H2A lysine 119 ubiquitination. So based on that, we concluded that repressive histone modifications, they accumulate on the EXIST-associated X chromosome. But the next question was whether the deposition of these modifications is directly mediated by EXIST. So we looked at what happens. We looked for the presence of these modifications on the X chromosome and the EXIST knockout and dox-treated CRISPR-I clones. And as you can clearly see here, we had a global depletion of these modifications in the absence of EXIST, strongly suggesting that this RNA is responsible for the deposition of these modifications in naive human embryonic stem cells. So to conclude for this part, in naive cells, EXIST recruits the PRC1 and the PRC2 to the active X chromosome, which leads to the deposition of H3K27 trimethylation and H2A lysine 119 ubiquitination. And so the next question was, does EXIST control the X chromosome activity? For that, we did the RNA sequencing followed by differential expression analysis. So I will show you only the results for the EXIST knockout versus the wild type, but we basically obtained the same thing for the dox-treated versus untreated CRISPR-I. So here we observe that more than 200 genes were differentially regulated in the EXIST knockout, and importantly, most of these genes were located on the X chromosome and their expression were upregulated in the absence of EXIST, which is consistent with its known repressive activity. So this indicated that EXIST is functional in naive human embryonic stem cells and regulate the expression of X-linked genes. Then we wanted to know whether EXIST is involved in alternative mechanisms of dosage compensation, so X chromosome dampening. For that, we took advantage of the fact that EXIST is expressed from one of the two X chromosomes, which corresponds to the previously inactivated X chromosome, as I told you in the introduction. And using single nucleotide polymorphisms, we were able to distinguish the reads coming from the previous XI from those coming from the previous XA to calculate the previous XI allelic ratio. And so using this approach, we were able to investigate whether we have difference in the expression between the two X chromosomes in the presence of EXIST. And so the results show that in the wild type and the untreated CRISPR-I, the previous XI allelic ratio was around 0.3, indicating that 30% of the reads were coming from the previous XI and 70% were coming from the previous XA. So in other words, the X chromosome that is expressing EXIST has a dampened expression compared to the other chromosome, which confirms the presence of X chromosome dampening in naive cells, at least on one of the two X chromosomes. Then the next question was whether this dampening is mediated by EXIST. So we looked at what happens in the knockout and the dox-treated cells. And as you can see here, we observed a significant increase in the previous XI allelic ratio to reach approximately 0.5, which now means that both X chromosomes are equally expressed in the absence of XIST. And so based on that, we concluded that XIST dampens the X chromosome activity in naive human embryonic stem cells. And so finally, we wanted to know whether SPEN, the protein partner of XIST, is also involved in this process. So first, we wanted to know whether XIST and SPEN interact together in naive human embryonic stem cells, so in the context of X chromosome dampening, because we had no idea at that moment. So we did the immunoprecipitation experiments for SPEN, and by RT-qPCR, we observed a strong enrichment for XIST, but not for the negative controls, indicating that SPEN and XIST, they are members of the same RNP complex in naive human embryonic stem cells. And so the next step was to deplete SPEN using two different mixes of siRNAs that we named SPEN1 and SPEN2. Although the depletion was not super efficient, maximum 50% at least on the RNA level, we observed a significant increase in the previous XI allelic ratio and the SPEN knockdown compared to the scramble, indicating that in the absence of SPEN, we have an increase in the X chromosome activity. So based on that, we concluded that SPEN is involved in dampening the expression of the X chromosome in naive human embryonic stem cells. So to conclude, during early human development, XIST becomes expressed from both active X chromosomes. It recruits some of its canonical protein partners, SPEN, PRC1, PRC2, and dampens the expression of the X chromosome in a SPEN-dependent manner. So this work was published a year ago in Nature Structure and Molecular Biology and is highly consistent with another paper from the lab of Catherine Platt, where she basically found similar results. So the next step would be to determine the function of X chromosome dampening, and more specifically, what are the molecular and physiological consequences of its perturbation on early human development, so an XIST loss of function context. And for that, we're going to use the stem cell-based embryo-like models known as blastoids, which can be efficiently generated from naive human embryonic stem cells. And as you can see here, these blastoids, they highly resemble a pre-implantation blastocyst. And so they are a suitable cellular model to address these questions. And this will be done in close collaboration with the lab of Vincent Pasque. And another question we would like to address is how and when the X chromosome transitions from dampening to inactivation. More specifically, what are the factors or the mechanisms that are involved, that triggers the switch in the XIST activity from dampening two X chromosomes to inactivating one of them. So this is currently ongoing also. And with that, I'd like to thank all the lab members, the ones that contributed to this work, also Claire, all the platforms from the Epigenetics and Fate Center and from the Institut Curie, our funding agencies, and thank you for your attention.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.